First Corinthians chapter 10. I want to look a little bit about the Lord's table and the Lord's Supper. Now you have them both. You may have them both mentioned in 1 Corinthians. In chapter 10, maybe we'll read a few verses beginning at verse 16. Chapter 10 and verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What shall I say then, that the idol is anything? Or that which is offered in idols, sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. And that's all we'll read for now. Although if you look in chapter 11, you'll see in verse number 20, when ye come together therefore into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. It's really, literally, it's not the Lord's Supper that you're really eating. It should be, but it wasn't what they were doing. It wasn't really the true order or the true Lord's Supper. Now the Lord's Supper in chapter 11 and the Lord's table in chapter 10 is not the same thing. This is not the Lord's table, this table that's holding up the emblems there. It's the emblems on the table, it's the Lord's Supper. The Lord's table is something different. Now the word, the Lord's Supper, that word Lord's is an adjective, and it's only used twice in the New Testament. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 11, I think it is, we look at that in Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 10. John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Now the Lord's Supper and the Lord's Day, that's the only place that word Lord's is used as an adjective. It means that the supper is described as being lordly. It's an adjective describing the supper. And the day, John speaks about, is a day that it's something, if we had a word called lordic, I suppose lordly, it's a lordly day. It's a day that especially belongs to the Lord. It's describing the day. Now, I believe this is significant because the Lord's Supper is the Lord's Supper. It's not our supper. It's not the Father's Supper either. It's the Lord's, Jesus Christ's Supper. He's the host. We're the guest. He has started it. He instituted it. And we are there remembering Him. It's all centered around the Lord Jesus. The Lord's Day, too, I believe, is the proper day for us to observe the Lord's Supper. That's today. And I believe the Lord's Day is significant. It's a day that John said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. I don't believe we should adhere to the Old Testament Sabbath as it was given to the Jews, but by the same token, the seventh day of creation, God made the Sabbath for man, a day from duress. And I believe the Lord's Day should be a day that we should set aside like John and be more in the Spirit on the Lord's Day than they'll be occupied with secular things. So the Lord's Supper, that's an adjective to describe the supper. Now when you go back in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, in verse 21, You see, the Lord's table, now that word Lord's isn't an adjective, it's a noun. And a noun, this is a person. The Lord's table, it's a table that the Lord himself has set up. Now, the emblems on this table, the Lord Jesus set up too, but it's describing the supper as something that belongs to him. The Lord's table here as a noun is the person that has provided that table for us. Now, if you look back with me, keep your finger in 1 Corinthians 10, but look back with me in Luke chapter 19. In Luke chapter 19, and you're going to see a word there that's the same word as the Lord's Supper. Chapter 19, and verse number 23. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank? Now that word bank and the word Lord's table, the same word. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 21, we could read, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's bank and the bank of devils. Now here's a bank that you don't have to deposit anything to get into, but you have the account number and you can get into it at any time at all. The Lord's Supper is a feast that we observe once a week. The Lord's table is something that's spread out before us all the time, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. If you look back in the same chapter, verse 10 and verse 4, chapter 10 and verse 4, and verse 3, speaking of Moses and the wilderness journey, it says they did all eat the same spiritual meat in verse 3. And they all did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that rock, spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now, if you look with me, keep your finger there, but look with me in Psalm 78, in the 78th Psalm. And we're going to see what the psalmist says about that. Psalm 78 and in Psalm 78 and verse number 19, I believe it is. Verse 19 is talking about that wilderness journey of 40 years. And it says in verse 19, yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Now, it's talking about the journeys for 40 years through the wilderness. And they were tempting the Lord and saying, can the Lord provide a table for us in the wilderness? Now, we don't mean a literal table with four legs to hold it up. It's talking about symbolically, it's talking about that table holding all the blessings and all of the supplies and everything they needed for those 40 years of journey. And on that table in the wilderness, God provided manna every morning, regular, 6 days a week, give a double amount on Saturday so they wouldn't have to collect it on Sunday. 40 years every day, he sent them bread from heaven on that table. Clothes, they never bought any clothes, the clothes never wore out, the shoes didn't wear out. They needed no doctors. They had a rock that followed them that they just spoke to the rock and it gave them water. It's all used symbolically of the Lord providing for them for those 40 years of wilderness journey. So you see, the table speaks about all the blessings here that God had for his people through the wilderness. Now, if you look in Malachi's in the book of Malachi, the last book of the Bible, Malachi chapter 1. And you're going to see here that the table is mentioned again, symbolically, and it's connected with the altar where they made sacrifices. Verse 7. He offered polluted bread upon mine altar. And ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye said, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And it goes on and speaks about that table on down through this chapter. What the Levites were doing, they were offering sacrifices on an altar. And in some cases, the priests ate of that sacrifice. That's used here of the Levites offering bread, offering something, bread symbolically of animals, offering them on the altar. And it's called a table, and they say that's contemptible. We don't want to offer this that anymore. Now, if you look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 18, that table is brought in view. There was a table that followed them through the wilderness, figurative of God supplying them with all the blessings they needed. There was a table associated with the altar in Malachi chapter 1 and in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 18. Behold Israel after the flesh. Are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? That's what we read in Malachi chapter 1 and verse 7. The altar and the sacrifices was God's provision to cover their sins until Christ came. And the priests and some of the offerings, some of the priests ate of those that. They were eating, as it were, of that which was supplying all God's needs for their sins until Christ came. So you see, you've got tables mentioned everywhere that's not connected with a literal table. In Psalm 23 and verse 5, David says, "Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies." What does he mean? He's simply saying, you're going to spread out before me all that I need to deal with my enemies. All the supply. So what you have in the Lord's table is the Father's supply. Now if you flip back in Matthew chapter number 22, you're going to see the Lord's table, I believe, there. It's called the Lord's table, Jehovah's table, because it's that which the Father has supplied, spread out before us, in something He's preparing for His own Son. Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 2, we read this. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. And again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which were bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatling are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. Some made light of it, and so on, and so on, and so on. Here's the preparation God has made, the Father has made. A feast for His Son, a wedding for His Son, and He invites everybody to come to it. Now that's the Father's table. Luke 14 is probably the same portion that Luke records it in 14, verse 16. It records it well there too. It's all the provision laid out for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Father's table, the Lord's table. Now it's the Father's table that we're brought into when we're saved. It's a relationship. And the Lord's Supper is a fellowship. The Lord's Supper, it's not the Father's Supper. It's the Lord's Supper. The Lord's table has to do with the Father's provision for us in His Son, and we should be feasting at that table all the time. The Lord's Supper is something that has to do with our fellowship. If we're in fellowship with the Lord, then we should be at the Lord's Supper and partake of the Lord's Supper. We have that in chapter 10 and verse 16. Notice the cup here is before the bread. That's not the order of the Lord's Supper, is it? But it's the order of the Lord's table. The cup of blessing, which we bless, is it not our common unity through the blood of Christ? See, we're all brought to the Lord's table, to the great supper. We're all brought there through the blood of Christ. That's why the cup is mentioned first. The cup of blessing is the cup that's on the table now. But it's used here first because it's our relationship to the Father's table, to the Lord's table, to the great supper. So we come into this through the blood of Christ. We who were sometimes afar off are now made nigh by the blood of Christ in Ephesians 2 and 13. So verse 16 is saying the same thing. He's saying in a question form, is not the cup, the contents of the cup and the cup itself, the contents of the blood of Christ, the cup itself represents the covenant, the everlasting covenant through the blood of Christ. Isn't that the way that we have a common sharing at the supper, the Lord's Supper? That's what brings us into the Lord's table, rather. That's what brings us into the table. Then he goes on in the same verse to use the bread. Now the bread which we break, isn't it our common unity in the body? That's the church of Christ. We're not into the physical body of Christ. It's the church that's in view here. So, the bread which we break, it not only represents the body of Christ that hung on the cross and was broken and marred beyond recognition. That's what brings us into the Lord's table. That's what brings us into the great supper. We come in through the blood into the body. He says in verse 17, for we, not you believers at Corinth, but all believers, were many, but were just represented in that one loaf of bread. And we're in the one body. So he associates, in verse 17, he's connecting the one bread, the one loaf of bread, with the one body of Christ, not only physically, but spiritually, the church, the body of Christ. So this chapter is bringing the believer into the body of Christ through the blood of Christ to the great feast that he's provided for us at his table. This is the great feast of Luke 14 and Matthew 22. Now, the reason he's doing this is some of these Corinthians were idolaters. In chapter 10 again, in verse 14, he says, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. And they were visiting the idols' temples, and they were eating of the meats that they had used for sacrifices. It was fellowshipping they were having at the idol's supper. They probably weren't worshiping the idols, but they were eating of the meat. So he goes on to say that in verse 19, what shall I say then? You've been brought to the Lord's table. You've been brought to the great feast. You come in by the blood of Christ into the body of Christ. You have a relationship to God the Father through the Son now. So he said, what are we going to say to these things in verse 19? That the idol is anything? Or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? Question mark. But I say the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. So he goes on to say, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils at the same time. You can't be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils at the same time. So you see, he's correcting them for something they're doing at Corinth in partaking of these, at least the meats that have been offered to idols, polluted meats, meats that have been offered to devils, and he's saying, you just can't feed at those two tables at the same time. Now, in this particular case, it's the sacrifices offered to idols. But to us, it's any fellowship with the wickedness of this world. That's why James says in James 4:4, if we're a friend of the world, we're an adulteress or an adulterer. And you can't be a friend of the world and a friend of the Lord at the same time. The more we fellowship with the world all around us, in 2 Corinthians 6:14, we're told we're not to have any fellowship with unbelievers. Now that's an intimate sharing in all their interests in life. It doesn't mean we'd be unfriendly toward them. It doesn't mean we should avoid them, but we should not be partakers of their fellowship. In Ephesians 5:11, I think it is, it says that we shouldn't have any fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. I think that's the verse we look at. Ephesians 5. And verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. It's a shame even to speak of them about those things that are done in secret. So the whole concept is that if we are fellowshipping at the Lord's table, feasting on the good things of Christ, we're going to have to avoid feasting on the tables of demons, as it were, or what the world has to offer would be it. The table represents all God has to offer to us in Christ. Anything else represents what the world and Satan has to offer to us. So if we're all occupied with what the world has to offer to us, we're going to have a hard job to feast at the Lord's table at the same time. So it's important that we understand the difference here. The Lord's table is figurative. The Lord's supper isn't. The Lord's table is something we should be feasting at all the time. We should be thinking about the things of the Lord all the time. We should be conscious of the Lord's presence all the time. And the Lord's presence comes to us through His Word, meditating on His Word, thinking about His Word. And it's great to be feasting all the time at the Lord's. Now this brings us into a proper place where we can come to the Lord's supper. The Lord's table has to do with my relationship in the body of Christ and to the Lord. The Lord's supper has to do with my fellowship. If I'm feasting at the Lord's table all the time, that means I'm in fellowship with the Lord. And that equips me to come to the Lord's Supper properly. This is what the Corinthians weren't doing. That's why in chapter 11, verse 20, he says, when you come together, it's really not the Lord's Supper you're eating at all. You haven't been feasting at the Lord's table. How can you come and remember the Lord at His Supper? If you haven't been feasting at the Lord's table, you just can't do that. And they were making a farce of the whole thing. Verse 21 of chapter 11, some of them were even getting drunk. In the latter part of verse 21, they were bringing the big suppers and getting drunk and despising the poor. In verse 22, see, it was just a mess. Why? Because they've not been feasting at the Lord's table. They've been feasting at the table of devils and feasting at the things of the world. So he goes on to verse 23 to give them the clearest, most definite description of the Lord's Supper that there is in the Bible. And he received it directly as a revelation, not from Peter, James, or John, but directly from the Lord. For I received of the Lord, or from the Lord, that which I also I delivered unto you, that the same night the Lord Jesus, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed. Now, it's strange that he would bring up that ugly event the same night that he was betrayed by Judas. Why would he bring that up to Paul and relate? There were so many other things the Spirit of God could have revealed to Paul about the Lord's Supper. But he brought up that ugly event of Judas betraying the Lord. Could it be because many of the Corinthians were betraying the Lord at the same time? Weren't they betraying the Lord too? They were feasting at the wrong table. They were making a farce of the Lord's Supper. They were betraying him. They were not faithful to him. Like Judas was not faithful. So he gives them in verse 24 and 25 and so on, gives them the exact order, the purpose of the Lord's Supper. So may the Lord help us to keep clear in our minds the distinction between the table and the supper, and be feasting at the Lord's table all we can, so that we'll be good worshipers at his supper. Shall we pray? Father, we come to thank thee for the Lord's Supper. We thank thee for the Lord's table. Thank thee that thou hast provided all of our needs in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank thee that we are complete in him. We ever thank thee that we have all the blessings that flow to us from that throne of grace in heaven above, where he ever sits, to dispense them to us as our great high priest. Thank thee for the provision of Calvary and every remembrance of him this morning. Ever help us to keep feasting at the table, that we might be better worshippers at the supper. So we ask thy hand to be good upon us. Remember us throughout the day, the Bible class and the meeting tonight, and in the days to come. We give thee thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.